Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints presents Enduring It Well. We live in a beautiful world created for a divine purpose, a complex world designed specifically for our mortal probation. Created under the direction of a loving Heavenly Father, this earth life is full of breathtaking vistas. All around us, we can see nature's splendor, tender shoots of spring's green grass. Rainfall shine on the ground after a storm, brilliant sparkles on freshly fallen snow, or the spectacle of vivid colors gently blowing in an autumn breeze. Closer to our hearts can be the sight of a familiar face, a parent, a sweetheart, a child, each with unique features that become so ingrained in our minds that even a photograph can draw a tear in their absence. But what if our vision was suddenly no longer possible? What if something happened that either slowly or abruptly took the blessing of sight from us for the rest of our lives? What gives a person hope? Vision in a sightless world? The gospel of Jesus Christ gives the children of Heavenly Father the blessed gift of seeing beyond this world, beyond our circumstances, to a far better world with no frailties, nothing withheld in the eternities. This is Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen.
Mary Ann Fisher was born in 1932 in Las Vegas, Nevada, not in a hospital, but in a home, as was the tradition. During her birth, the doctor unintentionally injured Mary Ann's eyes with the forceps he was using to bring her into the world. As a result, she entered the world blind. Mary Ann boldly reached out into the dark and learned productive skills that would give meaning to her life. She earned 2 master's degrees, sang for 17 and a half years in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and composed the beloved Latter-day Saint hymn, As I Search the Holy Scriptures. Now in her 80s, Mary Ann retains a zest for life despite having never seen a sunrise or sunset during all her years. I'd like to welcome to Enduring It Well today, Mary Ann Fisher. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Mary Ann, let's just start right at the top. Tell us how you lost your sight.
My parents lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's where I was born in 1932, and these were the Depression years. My father, like so many fathers, were out of work, and I was born on October 29th, 1932, and this year I will be chronologically gifted at 81. That's coming up October 29th.
Well, happy birthday in advance.
Oh, thank you very much.
Did you have sight at your birth? What happened?
The thing that happened, because my parents did not have any money, I was born in a home and not a hospital, and I remember my mother saying that they paid $50 for my birth in those days. The doctor, however, got the forceps in my eyes during the birth process, and that's the reason I am blind.
And so you have not been able to see your whole life.
That is correct, with the exception of a little bit of light projection in my left eye. That's all.
How did your parents help you? What did they do?
They probably did nothing. I probably trained them because as a little kid, you know, I didn't have brothers or sisters. And anyway, they had to get used to me. But I know their poor hearts were broken when they found that they had a little blind child. And they took every step they could to see that I was taken to the best doctors and nothing worked.
And as you look back upon your parents, what kind of feelings do you have for them and what they did to care for this little blind daughter of theirs?
They were wonderful parents. Oh, they were. And my mother and dad loved me so much. My parents, I came from a religiously divided home. My mother was LDS, inactive, and my father was Lutheran. But he loved me like no other father could love a daughter. And my mother loved me tenderly, and oh, she was always there for me. What wonderful parents I have had.
So did you go to a school for the blind?
I did. Nevada didn't have a school for the blind, so because my mother's parents, my grandpa and grandma, lived in Vernal, Utah, my parents decided to put me in the Utah State School for the Blind, and that was in Ogden, and this was when I was 5 years old.
At age five, you were there in this school.
I was just a little tiny girl.
Did you ever fear at all of not being able to see?
No, not until I got older. And then I look back on these things and then I scare myself. I'm going to narrate two experiences. One was when I must have been about three, and I loved cod liver oil. Oh, I must have been mentally deranged. But anyway, Mama gave me a teaspoon of cod liver oil every day, and I was the healthiest child in the whole neighborhood. But one day she was out in the yard hanging clothes, and I somehow got up into the cupboard on the very top shelf, and then I screamed my head off because I didn't know how to get down. And my mother came running, and she came in, and she had to get up on a chair in order to get this wild child out of the cupboard. And anyway, I drank half a bottle of cod liver oil, and ooh, I've hated it ever since. The other story I want to relate, oh, if anybody thought that this little girl was a tame little girl, they were wrong, because it was on the 4th of July, a very hot day, and my little neighbor friends, we were out shooting our cap guns, and it was awful because I went back over. I enjoyed myself so much, but I went over, got in the car. I knew exactly where the caps were, and I got the caps out of the back window, and ooh, I chewed them up, a roll of caps, and about blew my head off.
Oh.
And it was just a terrible experience. And then I was scared to go home and tell Mama what I'd done. I just did everything that other kids did, except nobody else but Marianne would chew up a roll of caps.
Well, you know, it's sad that oftentimes people who have lost one sense, the other senses can compensate. Have you noticed such a thing? Have you noticed that acute hearing, sense of smell, have you noticed any of those things?
No, but the thing is, the two things that people have to remember, we as people who are blind have to pay closer attention and be more alert and more observant of things that are going on around us. Those of us that are on top of it, so to speak, we like to know where we are, and we get a lot of cues when we're going. And I've always had seeing eye dogs or guide dogs. They were my eyes since I was 19 years old. And I just had my number 10 dog, Carly. She was my seeing eye dog, and I had to, because of cancer, have her euthanized this last October. We at all times had to know where we were going in order for us to direct the dog. We had to be the brains of the outfit, so to speak, while they were the eyes.
You know, it's interesting, though, as you were talking, you were saying that you needed to know where you were going at all times, and the thought just really struck me that that's true of all of us, and maybe those of us who are not visually impaired take that for granted, not only on a physical level, but maybe more on a spiritual level. It's really important that we know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. What has blindness done for your spirituality?
Coming from a religiously divided home, if I had had vision, I no doubt would have gone with my parents, because always there was the search for work. Now this is going to sound very strange, Bill, but blindness perhaps has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. It's worse to be spiritually blind by far than it is physically blind. Oh, it is. And I am so grateful in that respect for my blindness, because coming again from a religiously divided home, I may not have embraced the gospel. Oh, and that is my life. I couldn't have gone on through my life without knowing Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost were working with me and for me because they love me like they love all of us. And so I am grateful that I've had that influence in my life. And so it might sound strange to a lot of people when I say that blindness is one of the greatest blessings of my life because I have endured it well most of the time. I say that.
How important are our prayers, particularly when we're deep in adversity?
I could not have survived my life without prayer. One time I was giving a sacrament meeting up in Ogden, and it was in December, the first snow of the year. And my accompanist and her gentleman friend, he was driving, and oh my goodness. And I told him, I said, "There is no rush, we have plenty of time." Well, pretty soon he changed lanes and we went into a terrible skid. We went round and round and round. Oh my gosh. And all I could do is bow my head and say, "Heavenly Father, please help us." Oh, and he did. And the car behind us just missed us. We were so blessed. And so that was just one instance, but I could not have survived my life without prayer, knowing that I had the spiritual help that I needed to get through whatever situation I was in.
Now, you love music. You love singing, playing the piano, the organ. What has been the benefit of music in your life without your sight?
Well, I think with or without sight, we came to Earth with certain talents that we might have had in our premortal state, and mine surely was music, because I've had a love for and of music, oh my goodness, all of my life. And not only do I do that, but I have done a lot of composing. And Bill, I cry a lot, not for self-pity, but in gratitude. Oh, I am so grateful that I have had the opportunities that I've had to not only write music and perform music. I cannot tell you how excited I am and how grateful I am. And I cry because of that gratitude. And I cry for a lot of reasons.
You wrote the music and the words to the hymn, "As I Search the Holy Scriptures." What inspired you to do that?
The invitation came out in the Ensign for anyone who wanted to write a hymn for possible publication to do so and to submit it. So, being a composer and a musician that I am, I chose to write something. And you know, it was so interesting because I would sit down to the piano and I would start many different kinds of hymns and they just didn't feel right, didn't seem right. And so I thought, oh, I am going to write about the scriptures. And then the thought crossed my mind, no, you can't write about the scriptures. Nothing rhymes with scriptures. So I used the next thought that I had, just use the line, "As I search the Holy Scriptures," for the first line of every verse.
You know, I would bet that most saints who sing that wonderful hymn have no idea that the composer studies the scriptures in Braille. That's interesting to me. I had no idea.
In those days, yes, I just had nothing but Braille to read the scriptures. But now technology has advanced so much that not only do I have the scriptures in Braille, and I still use that, oh, because there's such a difference between reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures. When I am just doing dishes or doing housework of any sort, then I can listen to the scriptures on CD or cassette tape or now on digital. Mm-hmm. But when that's to read them. But when I'm studying the scriptures, I prefer to use my Braille because then I can assimilate. I can go to different references or ponder or stop. That's what I like to do.
Well, and I love in the title of it, the word search. I love that it wasn't just "as I read the Holy Scriptures," it's "as I search the Holy Scriptures." Clearly, searching the scriptures is important to you, important enough to pen such words. Is there a particular scripture or scripture story that gives you strength when life can seem overwhelming at times?
Yes, there is. The Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verses 3 and 4. You cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time the design of your God concerning those things which shall come hereafter, and the glory which shall follow after much tribulation. For after much tribulation come the blessings. Oh, I have thought of that scripture so often when I've been in a trial.
If you just tuned in, my name is W.A. Christensen, host of Enduring It Well on the Mormon Channel. Today's guest is the charming Mary Ann Fisher, a courageous woman who has been challenged her whole life with the trial of blindness. There are so many benefits from studying the scriptures. What power comes to us by searching the scriptures?
It's our life. We must remember where we came from. Our Heavenly Father is our Father in heaven, and our elder brother is Jesus Christ. And I think of the scripture from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which we all know. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We've got to have that trust. And going back to my guide dogs and seeing eye dogs, as a blind person, when I stepped out of my house, I knew not what might be in front of me. I had to put that trust in the dog, and I had to follow. I took hold of its harness. I had to follow that dog, and it saved me from a lot of injury. And so with the scriptures, I am so grateful that we have that as a guide. We can lean on those scriptures.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it. In the October conference of 1992, Elder J.E. Jensen gave a wonderful talk about the scriptures entitled, Remember Also the Promises. One of the things he pointed out is that there's five promises of power. One, the power to overcome evil when we read the scriptures, study the scriptures. Two is the power to live righteously. Three is the power to teach convincingly. Four is the power to call down the powers of heaven. Now, the fifth power that comes to us through the scriptures is the power to change the heart and disposition. I think one powerful scripture that brings all of this together is in 2 Nephi 31:20, where Nephi said, quote, Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, ye shall have eternal life. And in that simple little scripture is everything that we're about today, that we're talking about, enduring to the end on this program, enduring it well, endure to the end, to search those scriptures, to understand that as we press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ. And it sounds to me like that's exactly what you did as you penned that wonderful hymn, particularly verse 3 in your hymn talks about the power that comes to us in our adversity through searching the scripture. I'd like you to recite for us, if you would, as the composer, that particular verse.
Thank you, Bill. As I search the Holy Scriptures, may thy mercy be revealed. Soothe my troubled heart and spirit. May my unseen wounds be healed. You know, as children, we go to our mamas when we've skinned a knee or bumped a head or whatever. But even as older people, oh, goodness, we have wounds on our heart that only Heavenly Father knows.
And that's what we find in the scriptures are those stories where we see that He did and does just that. Mary Ann, you sang for 17 and a half years with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. As I think about that, that must have presented a unique challenge to you to learn the notes and the words. Tell us how you did that.
Oh, I just am so blessed because that dear Gerald D. Otley, who was the conductor at the time, he took a great chance on allowing me to join the choir. I had to put every first soprano note that I sang And every word that I sang, I had to transcribe it into Braille. And in Braille, I must have had about 5,000 or 6,000 pages of Braille music that I had transcribed. But I'm so grateful that I had the knowledge and the skill that I could do that. So grateful that I was an A student in college when I was getting my first master's degree in music, that I knew what to do and how to do it. I am so very grateful that I did that.
Tell us a favorite experience of yours singing with that great choir.
Oh, there are so many, but one that comes to mind is we were on tour in Australia. And by the way, I visited 23 different countries while singing with the choir.
Wow.
And this particular time, and I'm here to tell you, none of us go unnoticed. You might think you're unnoticed, but be aware that somebody is always observing. And in this particular seating arrangement, I was on the back row, and I was reading my music and went through the concert with everybody else. And afterward, this dear little man, oh, he was so sweet. He came and he picked up my hand and he kissed my hand. And, oh, what lady doesn't like to have her hand kissed, I ask you. But he was so precious. And then he told me that his wife would have been with him that day, but she had a broken neck sustained in a car crash. And little did I know at that time that some years later, I too, through a car crash, would have a broken neck. But that man, he said to me, I watched you all through that concert. And no, I could not focus my eyes when we had pictures taken of the choir, because having never been able to see, I never learned how to focus my eyes. So I might look a little bit unusual in some pictures, but at least I tried to turn my head where I thought the camera might be. And anyway, I survived, but I was so appreciative for that dear little man.
Marianne, you're quite accomplished in other areas of your life, including 2 master's degrees, certification as a rehabilitation counselor, and as a medical transcriptionist. What has driven you to excel despite the challenges that might have stopped you?
I think my determination to succeed and just my positive attitude. I have a great sense of humor, but I'm a happy person, and I just take joy in living. I'm so grateful to get up in the mornings and so grateful to report to the Lord at night what I've done through my day. So grateful that I can have prayer during the day in my heart and in my mind. The thing that motivated me was my determination to succeed. I'm not a person to just sit back and do nothing. Oh, no, that's not part of my nature.
Well, you know, you've also taught school. You've been engaged in competitive employment, owned one of the largest medical transcription service companies in the state of Utah, and have been an honorary member of Alpha Delta Kappa, an honorary international teacher's sorority. What has being so engaged in life done for you over the years?
Well, I think that's one of the things that's kept me young all of these years. I don't feel like I'm an 80-year-old, and I don't probably act my age, which that's all right, too.
That's all right.
But I like mentally stimulating things. And believe me, when I was working, I had a lot of challenges, but I had a lot of blessings along the way, too. And so I was motivated because I had the desire. I wanted to succeed, not to show the world anything, not to prove to Marianne, but to prove to Heavenly Father that I was trustworthy, that I could be depended upon, which I was, to do whatever was asked of me. And a lot was asked of me, believe me.
Well, I think that's what you've just said there is really a great description of how to be valiant and what it is that's really required of us to follow the guidance, follow the commandments, follow the admonition that comes from our Father in heaven to make our lives valuable, to do something of good worth while we're here, and to report back to him. And what you said there, it's interesting. You've served in a variety of church callings, including as organist in the Salt Lake and Jordan River temples. At one point in your busy life, you became anxiously engaged in family history work. Why has that been important to you?
Oh, it's exceedingly important to me, Bill, because all of my life, well, all of my grown-up years, I have been interested in family research, and I tried so hard working with different people, but bless their hearts, they didn't know any more about genealogy than I did. It didn't matter to these ancestors that I was blind. It didn't matter. Even though blind, I could do this work. I could see that it was done, and ever since, I have done so. I've loved the experience of working for those on the other side of the veil, and they are so close to us.
How does your knowledge of the gospel, and particularly the knowledge of that great plan of happiness, bring light to your day?
I guess because I have the hope of one day being with my Heavenly Father and with my Savior and the Holy Ghost. That gives me light to my day. And that's why I'm such a positive person.
What words of encouragement would you give to someone who has recently lost their vision?
I would say to them, never give up. Ever, ever, ever. Heavenly Father has never given up on us, and so we must not give up either.
Marianne, you're 80 years young and still living life fully. And I have to say, it's been just a joy and a delight to interview you today. Your sense of humor comes through. Your sweetness is just all through this studio. We all pass through the portal of death to the next realm of existence. Are you excited by the idea that you will soon see again?
Ooh, yes, I am excited. I can hardly wait. I'm not going to hasten the process, but I am so excited about that. And yet, I know that I have things to do here that must be completed before I go on. And I just hope Heavenly Father will grant me the privilege of being able to complete my life history. And I'm doing what I call Marianne's timeline. I have kept books through my life, and my mother kept books for me when I was just a little tiny girl at the blind school. And the school wasn't blind, by the way. It was just us. But anyway, all through my life, and I have given hundreds of performances. I have been a performer all of my life, and I am so grateful for Heavenly Father giving me these wonderful talents. I'm grateful that Heavenly Father, I don't mean to sound vain, but I'm grateful that He gave me pretty hair, because so many people, they still come up to me, Marianne, did you used to sing in the Tabernacle Choir? And yes, I tell them I did, and it was with great joy that I tell them that. But I am looking forward to being with my Savior and my Heavenly Father again.
And what, of all the things that you've experienced in your life and not been able to see visually, what do you long to see the most?
First of all, I just want to go quickly into the arms of my Savior and my Heavenly Father. And then, after they give me a love, and I hope they will, and I know they will, but then I want to step back and gaze at this wonderful universe that they have made. Our Savior has made this wonderful, beautiful earth. We come here as little children, but you know, even as old as I am, I'm still a little child, still a little girl. I have much learning to do, and I joy in reading the scriptures, in trying to better my life every day, and to live as a true Latter-day Saint should live. I have a lot of failings, a lot of shortcomings, as we all do. And yes, we have challenges. We know we have to go through hard times. May we never fail Him. Thank goodness for the avenue of repentance. Thank goodness for a wonderful Savior who will advocate for us on Judgment Day. I have learned a lot, and I'm so grateful that Heavenly Father has given me the privilege of coming onto this earth in this particular time and age when the world is in such chaos, but yet we have so many blessings, and we must hold firm to that iron rod, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.